Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry presents Lessons from the School of Suffering. A young priest with cancer teaches us how to live. Written by Father Jim Willig with Tammy Bundy. Father Jim Willig courageously began to record this audiobook, but when the demands of cancer overwhelmed his strength, he asked his friend, Brian Patrick, to complete the reading. Brian touches our hearts as he finishes chapter 1 and continues reading this extraordinary journey of prayer.
Chapter 6, Required Text. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. When I first learned I had cancer, people handed me a number of books, articles, videos, and audio cassettes about cancer and its related treatment. Although these works looked interesting and might be helpful, the truth was I had neither the time nor energy to read or review them all. Therefore, I did the one thing I have learned to do when faced with a decision. I prayed for guidance from the Holy Spirit. I prayed that the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of wisdom and truth, would lead me to read and to view those resources that would be best and most helpful to me. The runaway number one greatest book that has helped me most is one that I already own. It's my Bible. A priest might be expected to say this, but honestly, when I was struggling with some of my deepest and worst feelings, my first thought was not to turn to the Bible. When a person is really in the throes of agony, it is hard to know what to do. But the Bible is exactly where I felt the Spirit guide my attention. There have been many times when I felt helpless and in need of assurance from God. At those times, the Bible has offered me such blessed assurance that I can go on. At other times, the Bible has offered me blessed guidance and even a challenge that I needed to carry on. One of the most helpful scriptures that has repeatedly given me a great understanding about what is going on in my life is the gospel that was read at my pre-surgery mass when my friends gathered to pray for me. It is the gospel of John where Jesus repeatedly asked Peter, "Do you love me?" I have often said I love the Lord. But when my spiritual companion, my soul friend, Father Michael, read the words, "When you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. John 21, verses 18 through 19. I heard them as if for the first time. When those words were read, it was as if they jumped off the page and landed directly in my heart. It could not have been any more of an instant message if Jesus had sent me email. I knew that Jesus was saying this to me. I knew I was Peter, and Jesus was telling me he was giving me this cross. Somehow you just know. This particular scripture has helped me so much. It has become who I am and who Jesus is to me. This is what he is asking of me. This is my whole understanding of what is happening. Scripture has had an unparalleled effect on me. No other book has guided me so richly, affirmed me so profoundly, and comforted me so lovingly. Never in my life has anything had the kind of power to enlighten me in that degree or lead me in that way. There is no other book that can do for me what the Bible can. The Bible can touch us and teach us in many ways. One gospel story that continues to touch and teach me, especially during my school days of suffering, is the story of Jesus on the cross between two criminals also being crucified. The first criminal was on Jesus' right side, while the other was on Jesus' wrong side. The man on the wrong side of Jesus blamed Jesus for not taking him down off his cross. Clearly, he was very bitter. The man on the right side of Jesus, with the right attitude, did not blame Jesus. He took full responsibility and blamed only himself. He didn't ask to be taken down off his cross, but rather he asked to be lifted up with the Lord. While the one thief cursed Christ, the other one blessed him, and he simply prayed, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23, verses 42 and 43. It is amazing to realize that this good thief became a saint, canonized by Jesus himself. The renowned Bishop Fulton Sheen once said, we call this man the good thief because he stole his way into heaven. This powerful gospel story comes to me often when I think about the crosses we too are asked to carry. When we are faced with a cross, we find ourselves at a crossroad in life where we have to choose between the right side or the wrong side of Jesus. At that moment, we choose whether to take the road that will lead us to be bitter or better. Admittedly, it is so easy to get on the wrong side and blame God, others, and ourselves. But we eventually discover this does us no good. It only brings us further down. If we choose to be on the right side of Jesus, we must continually work at developing the right attitude about our suffering. Then we can imitate the good thief by looking to Jesus and praying, Jesus, remember me, or Jesus, be with me, or Jesus, help me, or simply to call on his name, Jesus, which means Savior. Typically, as was the case with the good thief, Jesus does not take us down from our cross or remove it, but he instead lifts our spirits with his and offers us the peace of paradise. This peace of paradise, however, is hard to hold on to in the school of suffering. Early on in my struggles with cancer, I was caught up with many of the fears and anxieties that go hand in hand with cancer. I would be so tempted to think, renal cell cancer, once it has metastasized, is rarely curable. As long as I had to look at that fact, I felt myself slowly sinking into a type of depression. There were so many questions that became distractions. What about this treatment? What about that clinic? How about this medicine or chemotherapy? I became so overwhelmed that I started to feel like I was actually losing my equilibrium. I thought I was going crazy. I cried out to God, Lord, I am afraid I'm going to lose it. You've got to help me, Lord. I'm sinking here. At that very moment, I felt incredibly drawn by the interior instinct we all have. And this instinct led me to pick up my Bible. This is a step that I highly recommend for everyone, especially when we are feeling the need for counsel, directions, and answers to our questions. I further suggest that we need to first pray to the Holy Spirit to guide us to that special passage that will provide the answers and insights we need. Second, we need to pray to the Holy Spirit to help us understand and interpret the passage correctly and appropriately for our situation. That is what I did when I picked up my Bible and turned to the story about Peter walking on water, Matthew 14, 22 through 33. As I have said, I have always felt a connection to Peter, and this story is one of my favorites. In this gospel episode, Peter saw Jesus walking on water. Upon seeing him, Jesus invited Peter to come and do the same, walk on water. For one brief and beautiful moment of complete faith, when Peter was only looking at Jesus, trusting in him, he was able to step out in faith and walk on water. Peter was able to rise above the elements of nature. The wind, waves, and water could not bring him down, but then Peter naturally looked down at the frightful elements that surrounded him. As soon as he looked down, he started sinking. When he took his focus off the Lord, he was overcome. So Jesus reached out his hand to Peter and brought him back to his boat. Then Jesus reprimanded him by saying, "Where is your faith?" Matthew 14, 22 through 33. To me, that is amazing. Wouldn't we be tempted to say, "What do you mean? Where's my faith? I thought I did pretty good for one moment." Already, I knew I was in this story. I knew this was not just his story, but it was my story. This is the power of the living Word of God. God truly speaks to us about our lives and what we need to hear. I had been saying all along, "Jesus, do you know what it's like to have cancer? I have to constantly face the fact that all information points to the probability that I am going to die. Do you know what it's like to be constantly overwhelmed with these questions and concerns that, like the wind, come against me with such a strong force that I am overcome with anxiety?" And I heard Jesus say to me, "Where is your faith?" I came to realize that if I could keep my eyes, my soul focus on Jesus, Only then would I be able to overcome the natural tendency to be overcome by outside elements and fears, the winds and waves of worry. When I finished reading this passage, I felt the Lord reaching out his hand to me, just like he did to save Peter from drowning. I felt that. He was saving me. It was as though I could hear him say, "We can learn how to do this together." The lesson was clear. Jesus was helping me overcome the natural elements. The nature of his power is far more powerful than human nature. And he was offering to me that power, that supernatural power. He was teaching me, step by step, how to walk in faith. For that reason, I think of this story often, especially when I tend to feel down and catch myself looking down at the overwhelming elements around me. In my office, I even have a picture depicting this famous biblical scene. Being able to actually see Jesus grasping the hand of Peter, saving him from drowning, helps to remind me that Jesus is always there, reaching out his hand to us all. We just have to keep our focus on him. I remember another time when my focus was on the Lord, and I was literally crying out to him. I was in my room, and it was a rare time for me in that I impatiently blurted out to the Lord, "I have been very blessed during most of this cancer journey in that I have rarely felt horribly down. But I am telling you, no, I am warning you, I am slipping fast. I feel so sick and tired. And I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I have reached my limit of suffering that I almost feel like giving up." I continued to lay it on the line for Jesus. "If you had a 911 number, I'd be dialing it right now. I need to hear you speak to me. I need to know what you think. I need something from you that will really help me." And then I just cried. I could feel the deep tension and frustration pouring out of my whole body. When I finished crying, there was a palpable moment of silence. I remember having a certain image in my mind. I felt as if I had just poured out my heart and soul to Jesus, and he patiently listened. He knew not to say anything until I had finished. He wisely knew I had to cry it out. He knew only when I was through crying that it would be his turn to speak. Ironically, I would later recognize this technique as the same technique I use as a counselor. When I was finally ready to listen to the Lord, I felt this compelling feeling telling me to pick up the Bible and turn to the New Testament. There was even a bookmark that I can't explain, marking St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. It read, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies." 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10. When I read that, I felt the Lord was explaining everything I was feeling. What is more, it also explained the highest purpose for which I was suffering. It was something no counselor but the all-wise counselor could tell me. It was precisely what I needed to hear. He was repeating my words back to me, another technique I have used in counseling before. And then he calmly assured me, "Yes, you are dying, but it's not your body. It's your old self. That's why it's hurting so much. But ultimately, you are dying so that I may live in you now and forever." This story, along with so many other stories in the Bible, has changed my life. Scripture is the way the Lord speaks to us in the most personal and powerful way. Of course, God speaks to us in many other ways, through people, experiences, nature, memories, tapes, books, etc. But none of these are as inspired as sacred scripture. Nothing else has such divine power to inform us and transform us as the Word of God. For this reason, I recommend learning by heart a few favorite Bible passages to refer to often, writing them on an index card and posting them on the refrigerator door, bathroom mirror, or bedside nightstand will ensure seeing them often. I have a friend who has committed many scripture verses to memory by first writing them down on an index card and carrying them in his shirt pocket until he has truly learned them by heart. He claims this simple practice has transformed his entire way of thinking and living. I personally have found it extremely helpful in my life. In fact, Whenever things look really bad for me, I refer in my mind to a particular scripture verse that always gives me comfort. We know that all things work together for good of those who love God. Romans 8, verse 20. In this school of suffering, the Bible has indeed offered me a therapy that no medical treatment can offer. It is an amazing textbook. My great concern, though, is that the Bible not only be our primary textbook, but even more, be a handbook, often in our hands, and especially a guidebook, leading us through this journey of life. Lessons. The Bible was given to us by God to enlighten and inspire us. The Lord speaks to us and guides us through sacred scripture. The Word of God has the power to inform and transform us. The Spirit will often lead us to the special biblical passages that will be the answer or help we need. Assignment. Keep handy a Bible or New Testament translation, like the New American Bible used by many churches, or the New Revised Standard Version. Set a regular time to read the Bible and reflect on it. Reflect on those passages that really speak to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand the full meaning of the passage. Learn by heart your favorite scripture verses. Like the good thief on the cross, or Peter who was drowning, pray, "Jesus, remember me," or "Jesus, save me." Prayer. Prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful ones, and set them on fire with your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth.
Heart to Heart welcomes you back next week for another inspiring chapter from Lessons from the School of Suffering. If you are interested in purchasing a copy of the full recording of this audiobook, either on CDs or through digital download, or a print copy of the book, or other resources available through Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry, please visit our website, www.htoh.us. There, you can sign up to receive more inspiring content delivered to your inbox. Or call us toll-free at 1-877-208-4875 with any prayer requests you have or other help you may need. And please, as always, keep us in your prayers as well. Donations of any size are also greatly appreciated to help support this ministry. This audio recording is copyrighted 2023 by Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry. Thank you for listening, and may God bless your heart and the hearts of all of your loved ones.